Sounds good to me. Praise the Lord. Come on, give him some hands. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, that's a good book. Let's see. This is what I used to do. Okay, let's preach on that. All right, listen to me very carefully. It's an honor to have new people. We always have new people. Never been to Cowboy Church before, and it's an honor to have you. We're about 4.5 miles outside of town, and I always say it like this, that you pass several churches no matter what direction you come from. You come from Burnett, you pass a few churches, and from Bertram. I mean, you've got to live across the street, which a lot of people do, to not pass a few churches getting to this one, because people come from miles around. We have people come from way down South Austin trying to get through traffic, and so on Sunday it's a little easier to get here. But I always say it like this: it is a pleasure that you would, for whatever reason, you saw it on the billboard or you heard about someone going here and you heard about Cowboy Church, it's an honor that you would come. And so what we like to do is we like to welcome you. Now, I'm hoping that when you came in, there was people that were ready to give you a visitor packet and just welcome you in that way, and, you know, make it a little more personal. But sometimes people sneak by us because of the busyness of the crowds. So if you are here for the very first time and you've never been here before, our church would like to welcome you. And if you don't have a visitor packet, we want to get you one right now. But all we need you to do is in the aisle with a two-step. Oh, could you turn on the music to the two? I'm kidding. You're like, I ain't coming back to this church. If you've never been to Cowboy Church before, I always say it like this: all denominations are represented in this church. Even people that have never really been to church much. And we have to understand that in heaven, we're not going to be segregated in denominational groups. All of us are going to be together. The Baptists are going to live next to the Pentecostal. It's going to be so fun. So we want to welcome you. If you've never been to Cowboy Church before, would you mind to just raise your hand and let our church welcome you in Jesus' name? Thank you, brother. Thank you, guys. Thank y'all for coming. Honor to have you. Now, you got a visitor packet, right? If you didn't get one, then say, I don't have one. But inside it is a card and a pen. And if you don't mind, just fill out that visitor card. And we'll have someone from church call you just one time and just thank you for coming. And I always say it like this: it's a great opportunity to ask any kind of question. We're about 18 years old. We're a very younger church compared to the churches that I grew up in that were over 100 years old. And they had a lot of roots established in the ground, but this is a younger church. And so ask any kind of question you have. What do we believe? Well, we believe the Bible. We preach Jesus and His resurrection. Amen. But also, if you have some needs of any kind, let us know about it. We help a lot of people financially, but we also pray. We have an incredible prayer team. And so, ask those kind of questions when you get called. Now, real fast, before we talk about tithes and offerings, how many have been here and you were new within the last 3 weeks? Let me see your hand. Okay, so there's some of you that are coming back. Amen. Thanks for coming back. Since you came back, then I'm going to pay the preachers that's been up here. And they did good. Oh, thank God for Ricky and Howdy and Rusty. Appreciate you guys taking care of the preaching duties while I'm gone. But thank God I'm back. All right. Now, I want to make this statement because this is the second little private messenger I've gotten. So whoever's watching right now, and that's where it's coming from, I want you to understand right now that we will never, ever, ever stop talking about God's economy and His ways of doing it. We will never stop, ever. We will always preach for 5 minutes every single Sunday, every Sunday, about sowing and reaping, tithing, offerings, alms, and how to give in God's way. Because, as I've said many times, the counseling sessions that I have are not anything other, usually, than financial issues. And when you have financial issues, it causes your body to be broken down because of worry and fear and doubt, and that's what makes a body sick. Now, I'm not saying that money is anything other than what it's designed to do. So we teach it correctly here. I don't take a salary at this church so that I can teach about finances for 5 minutes every single service. And what that does is it causes people... By the way, did you know that out in the real church world, because it's really not in this one, this is a given church. They say only 16 to 18% of the church... How many of you know we're the church, right? Only 16% of the church actually tithes. I mean, tithes. Matter of fact, when I go around the country and they're having issues financially, business people or whatever, sometimes I'll say, well, are you a tither? And they won't even know what that word means. So we teach it here because if you ever get into God's economy, I'll show you a person that owes no man but to love them. I mean, you'll get out of debt and you'll be able to help a lot of people. And but it's even deeper than that, because there are people that don't tithe that make a lot of money as well. But here's the issue is none of the glory is going to be able to go to God, because our job here is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you say amen to that? Okay, so now you guys don't wait on me. Remember, I've told you all about 16,000 times. Don't wait on me. Just pass them out, because I may take forever. I want you to receive the Word of God when we talk about the way God designed the economy of this world. Now, you have to understand that God created sowing and reaping. You find that in Genesis 8 and 22, all the way over in Revelations. So He's constantly talking about, hey, if you'll operate this way, not where money controls you and all you can think about is getting the stuff, because that's not how you're supposed to live. But if you ever get into His economy, it's a lot better way of living. And I know it's an issue, because sometimes we are married and we have one full side of either a husband or a wife that doesn't believe in, you know, God's economy, or they just don't practice tithing and giving offerings and, you know, first fruits and alms, the four ways that the Bible talks about giving. When God started in the very beginning about sowing and reaping, He established that covenant, that way of living, for a reason. So that you understand when a seed is planted, it will harvest in some way. Now, then Jesus talks about parables over and over in the Bible. And one of the parables, He talks about ground and where you sow the seed. In good ground, in stony ground, in ground that has thorns that chokes the word, etc. And obviously the reason that He had to do it is because everything was great before the curse came. Before Adam and Eve sinned, everything was great. We just lived in this way of living called seed time harvest. But because of the devil, because he tempted Adam and Eve and they sinned, then it caused a lot of bad things. So what we do here at church is we start teaching you about what does the Bible say about giving. Does it say you need to go and work, you know, 20 hours a day trying to get the stuff and burn up your life and your body and those kind of things? Or, and I'm not talking about good old hard work, because it seems like we're not teaching our kids good work ethic anymore. I mean, you see where our country's going with some handouts. I mean, they're trying to pass trillions of dollars just to be able to give handouts. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm kind of tired of some of these restaurants closing early. I need them to stay open. Well, they can't stay open because they don't have workers. They don't have people to fulfill the job. Matter of fact, I think it was Heidi was telling me that the Dollar General in Liberty Hill is only open about 4 hours because they can't get anybody to work. And the boxes are in the middle of the aisle. So if people will start learning about seed time and harvest, I mean, sowing that seed of work, I can promise you it's going to produce a harvest in your life. Yes, we need to sow into good ground so that we don't have weeds in it that chokes out that word or that seed. We don't need to be digging up our seed because of our mouth. You know, that's usually what happens, right? We'll sow the seed and then, you know, we've spent 30 years not tithing, then we try to start tithing for 6 months, and it's got to get out all the 30 years of not tithing and get some seed in the ground. But boy, if you'll keep sowing and sowing and sowing, it's going to produce a harvest. But then with our mouth, after 6 months, we say, well, this tithing stuff just don't work. And then we just dig up our seed. So in Luke's gospel, that's why the Bible says 6:38, to give and it'll be given back unto you. See, that's a seed and then it's a harvest. And don't get me wrong, there's some time that happens in the middle of it. A good old farmer always knows that when you plant the seed, it's going to take time to get that crop up, get some fertilizer on it, and then harvest time. But let me tell you something, as just before we give, the most work for a farmer is not sowing the seed. It's the harvest time. Because they got to do it at the perfect time. Matter of fact, if all the weather is good, they may have to keep doing it all night just to get that harvest. So when you give in God's economy, I want you to give, number one, because you're being obedient to God and not allowing money to control you. You control it. But number two, so that you can be a blessing and get out of debt and help people and be a giver. Amen. So y'all that are going to give in this bucket, whatever bucket you give into, come give with a big old shout of praise. Amen. Let's do a special. In radio, this is called dead air.
I'm not on an ego trip. I'm nothing on my own. I make mistakes. I often slip. Just common flesh and bone. But I'll prove someday just why I say I'm of a special kind. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. A look of love was on his face, the thorns were on his head, the blood was on that scarlet robe and stained it crimson red. Though his eyes were on the crowd that day, looked ahead in time. 'Cause when he was on the cross, we were on his mind. He knew me. Still he loved me. He whose glory makes the heaven shine. So unworthy of such glory. Yet when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind.
Amen. Thank you, my brother. Oh, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. As I was sitting there, I want to deal with an issue that someone's having in here. I don't know if it might be more than one person, but and I don't know. I feel like it's on one side, but if you're here and you're having an issue with some type of hearing, a hearing issue, and I'm not talking because, you know, we're old and we listen to rock and roll music and damaged our, you know, and it could be that, but I'm just talking, you're having some stuffiness. I don't know if it's clogged or if there's pain, and it doesn't matter if it's on the left or the right, but the Lord showed me that there's someone in here. Now we all have hearing problems. Now listen to me. The reason sometimes that those things happen is because the enemy does not want someone to get healed of their hearing. And that's not the first time that that's happened when we begin to get into the gifts of the Spirit. Even at Bible study, we've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit and your personal prayer language, etc. And that's when someone that's never been taught any of that stuff can raise their hand and say, "What does that mean? I mean, what is it when it talks about tongues? You know, things like that." And then there'll be some attacks, or there'll be some issues that come up that tries to distract and stop and get people into a little bit of deception or confusion or whatever. And so we come against that enemy because he's not going to stop what God wants to do now with someone's hearing in Jesus' name. Say amen to that. So if you are having issues in your ear, then come here. Let me pray for you. It doesn't matter who it is. Come here. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Father, in the name of Jesus. What side is it? In Jesus' name. The Bible says, sir, that is truth. The Word says the Word is truth and it makes us free. I rebuke any issues with hearing, and I command this ear to open up now. In Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Which side?
Mm-hmm.
Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that this ear canal, whatever is the issue, all the way through the inside, be healed now. Come on, someone say amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we rebuke any kind of ear issue, hearing issue of any kind. And we command this ear to open up. Wake up in Jesus' name. Say, I receive that.
Amen.
Amen. Glory be to God. Father, even if it's allergies, we rebuke it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that by the stripes of Jesus, this woman's healed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Father, in Jesus' name. I've seen it. That's three. I command this ear to open up here in Jesus' name. And I give you praise. Say praise amen. Which ear? Okay. Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you, Lord, that hearing, it's not affected by anything because it's free and opened up. Ear canal, wake up and open up in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. Which?
My doctors have told me that something's going on because my hearing has gotten drastically worse.
Okay.
Just in the last 6 months. You want me to go to get an MRI? And I said, no, we'll get an MRI. God's going to heal me.
Amen.
Okay.
Okay. So both.
I have hearing aids in my doctor.
Father, in Jesus' name. You created our bodies with nothing missing, nothing broken. So in Jesus' name, from the top of this woman's head, from the top of Edna's head to the bottom of her feet, I command this body to line up with the Word of God and be healed in Jesus' name. Father, you know what's going on. Be healed in Jesus' name.
Corey, I'm standing in for my wife.
In your wife.
Yeah,
it's both ears?
She has Meniere's disease in both ears.
Okay.
And it's killing her.
Meniere's disease?
Meniere's.
Okay, that's a name, right?
That's a name.
But Jesus has a name above it.
Absolutely.
Say amen to that, y'all.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
Father, we lift up her.
Thank you, Lord,
that she, with her husband standing in, for her, we call her head cleared up, her ears whole, healed by the power of God in Jesus' name. And we give you praise. Come on, give him praise. Now with that same enthusiasm, let's clap for kids and youth to be dismissed out the back end in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, glory. Thank you, Lord. The bell has sounded. Amen. Y'all look around, look back there and look at all the kids leaving. Listen to me. And I know y'all understand this. That's y'all's fault. Yeah. All right, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 2. I want to start a message, and I might have to finish it next week or whenever, the next week, or we'll see how long we stay on this. The other ministers understand and they listen to the Spirit of God, and they listen to me on what I preach, and God always has them backing things up. For a year and a half, we ministered on the spirit of fear. Because of, you know, all the virus that's going on and the devastation that it's causing to families and even death. And the Lord had us ministering on fear for all that time because the ones that that in any kind of way allowed the seed of fear to either come out of their mouth or just to get in any little way. And usually that's the thing. It's not a sin when there's a thought that's not, that doesn't line up with the Word or, it's not a thought of the Lord. It's not a sin until you meditate on it and you begin to speak it and confess it and talk about it and things like that. But for a long time, we dealt with that spirit of fear in this church. And it's living proof is the reason that this church is growing. It's the reason that we never stopped a year and a half ago plus having church. Most of you know we had a big parking lot service for a little bit because we didn't know what was going on, and then we went to the arena and spread out in the stands, and I'm telling you, they brought their lawn chairs and it was huge. As a matter of fact, a lot of people joined the church because their church wasn't meeting. And sadly, there's still churches that are still online and not meeting in person. I just don't understand that. And most of y'all know I was on those conference calls with the judge of the county, and with hundreds of pastors in this area, and personally was amazed at the fear, the doubt, and those kind of things that a lot of those pastors are still in a lot of ways. And because of it, you see a lot of bad things happening in their flocks. You're seeing people die. Well, you're not seeing that at this church. I'm not saying that people aren't... where was I? Before the hum in the key of E flat. And I've turned off the battery pack. Not going to deal with that. I usually get very upset at the devil when he tries to mess with my sound. And usually the brunt of it is the sound man. But he knows. He's just trying to figure out. You got all kinds of radio waves going across this country nowadays. It's crazy. Let me get my train of thought back. Huh? we're not living by the spirit of fear in any way, but again, what's happened is it's caused because of some ministers that just turn this thing down. Some ministers that are living in fear, then that spirit then comes on and it attacks even people you're around. And it's not a good thing. I mean, it's not good when you remember that story in the Bible that talks about where Jesus is in the boat, and when he says, "Peace be still," it calmed that storm, but it calmed the other little ships. That's really what we're supposed to be doing as ministers. We're supposed to be doing that as Christians, is speaking the Word of God, not through fear, but through faith. And when we speak faith, then it's supposed to calm everybody else down. And that's what wasn't happening, except at this church, and hopefully others around the country that we know about. But at this church, we don't want to get into that spirit of fear. So we preached on it for, year and a half plus, and there'll be times when we still talk about it. And we started preaching on Psalms 91, abiding under that shadow of the Almighty, that protection. Amen. Well, now I believe God is wanting to transition and, just transition in how are we to live. Even though we're not living by the spirit of fear, there's some other things that Ephesians talks about that will open up the doors to the enemy. And we need to not do that. Matter of fact, Ephesians says to give the devil no place. Okay? So listen to me. We live in a fallen world. And I always say, because all of us know, that we're not to live of this world. We live set apart from this world. Now, while you're living in the world, you're going to be watching and seeing and hearing a lot of things happening in the world that could tempt you to live exactly the same way. And that's why Christians need to stand up and fight, spiritually speaking, and live this way according to the Word of God. Say amen to that. And so if we'll stand up and live by God's ways, then even if we hear some negative things and we're seeing some chaotic things in this world, we're not going to have to participate in it. But it's going to take Christians knowing who they are in Christ. As I travel this country, and I want to thank you for allowing your pastor to leave at times. And I know some of you think, wow, he's never here. Well, it's because in these days, God needs me out there a lot, it seems like, to get the harvest in, because we're in the last days. And secondly, no one else will do the going out. They all want to stay in a very secured place being a pastor, but no one else is willing to go out. And so for 18 years of this church, God's never stopped me from, you know, going out there and telling people about Jesus. That's why people get saved all the time. Now, they get saved here as well, but after they get saved, then we have a team designed that God just really organized that. And it's different anointings that preach up here, but then we can mentor people and we can disciple the ones that stay hooked with us. But there's times when I've got to go. But out there, you better know who you are in Christ. Because, I mean, the attacks that I'm under out there are outrageous. But you know what? Remember when the Word says there'll be fiery darts, but they won't penetrate you? They'll just bounce right off of you. That's what happens when you know who you are in Christ. So again, we've talked about fear for a year and a half. Now it's time to transition in some areas of how to live in these last days. And I'll just be point blank with you. There's nothing wrong with holy living. Come on, say amen a little bit louder. I mean, we've been conditioned that, well, no, brother, we all fall short of the glory of God and we all sin. No, you don't have to. Matter of fact, you've got dominion over sin. We've just been conditioned that that's part of life. It's part of the old covenant. It's part of the curse that we all sin and fall short. But yet, we need to get delivered from falling short so much, so that we can live in the blessing of God. But it's going to take some things. It's going to take how you live. Are you one way at church and then a different way outside? Do you have times when you go and do things with friends that you probably wouldn't do with the pastor? And as I preached 3 weeks ago, these messages are not causing people to get into guilt and condemnation. They're designed to help us so that we can be overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We need to be helping people be victorious instead of being a victim over and over and over. And so here's, I believe, and by the way, when I preach to me. Because if I need it, more than likely other people might need it. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's begin right there. And if I was titling this message, it really started when I preached at Dattle, New Mexico a couple of weeks ago. And it's just, if I titled it, would be being a barrier breaker. Now in rodeo, listen to me, when you break a barrier in the roping event, it costs you 10 seconds. I'm not talking about that kind of barrier. I'm talking about things that are stopping you, like walls that are stopping you from accomplishing your dreams and your visions and your goals and the things that God has called you to do. There's the enemy that still wants to kill, steal, and destroy in your life and in my life. He wants to stop us in some areas. And sadly, we've got to get the understanding that we're not... Corey Ross is not here to be a pastor only. I'm not here just to be a good daddy and a good husband. I'm not here to, again, seek out to make the national finals and steer open only. You know why I'm here? Is to have fellowship with God. And we get that. My kids ask me all the time, you know, Dad, is there going to be team roping in heaven? Are we going to be able to play baseball and basketball and football and the things that we love? Are we going to be able to strike someone out with some fast pitch softball? You know what? You know what I tell them? That more than likely, when we get to heaven, we won't even care about that stuff. No, I'm not. But boy, you want to talk about messing people up? Oh, we're not going to have rodeo in heaven? Well, I don't know. There might be rodeo in heaven, but it's probably not going to be quite as competitive as it is down here. I'm talking about barriers that are holding people back. And again, sadly, we're talking ministers even that are under attack with addictions. And, oh man, you want to talk about the attack of us ministers? And we just have to be, we have to know who we are in Christ, even us preachers, so that we live what we preach. Amen. And so let's talk about being barrier breakers this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, say amen if you're there. In the King James, it says this, verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, this the Apostle Paul preaching, by the way, not with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I'm determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit, I like this part, and of the power. Verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the what? The power of God. Glory be to God. You see, there's a lot of things that try to limit you and I in today's world. There's things that try to stop us from accomplishing things that just, they may be a desire of our heart. You remember when the Bible says that if you're submitted to God, He'll give you the desires of your heart? You can't forget about that first part, being submitted to God, but there's always things that try to limit you and I. You go over to Psalms and I don't mind, you don't have to hold your place in 1 Corinthians, but go over to Psalms chapter 78. Psalms chapter 78 and let's just see what the Bible says about limiting us. Psalm 78 and verse 40, it says, how often did they provoke Him in the wilderness and grieve Him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited, say that word, limited. And limited the Holy One of Israel. You see, how did they limit Israel? How was Israel in those days limited? Well, number one, you see right here that they didn't obey God. You see, there's something about obeying God. And how you and I obey Him is all found right here in the book. How to live by God's ways of doing things. Listen to me. I know there's a lot of people that give their lives to Jesus right here. And the Bible calls you a baby in the Lord. Not talking about, you know, your size. I'm talking about just your, there's some limits of knowledge that one has when they first give their lives to Jesus. So that's why then we go to church. We pick up the Bible and we begin to read it so that we can become who God's created us to come. Because automatically, just because you gave your life to Jesus doesn't mean you know who you are in Christ Jesus and the devil stops messing with you. I mean, no, he messes with all people. Everybody says, well, if the devil's messing with you, then there must be a big breakthrough. That's really not that true, y'all. Because the devil messes with everyone, even unbelievers. He does not want anybody giving their lives to the Lord. And he'll take you through the trials and tribulations being an unbeliever just like he does the believer. So constantly we need to understand that when we give our lives to Jesus, that's why we need to tap into Bible study or get into church and find out what does the Bible say I am in Christ. You remember the Bible says that old things passed away, but all things become new. But they're not going to be new in a believer's life until you find out what it is to become new. You got to start getting into this word and find out what does the Bible say you are. Well, I'm here to tell you it's good. Matter of fact, the Bible says when you become a son and a daughter of God, that you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. That means everything that God has is for you and for me. We've got to tap into that in these days. If not, that's why we fall into sin. And that's why it's easy to say, you know, we just fall short of the glory of God. And we make sin bigger than it really is in our life. I don't have time to go through what Jesus did by being crucified and now the power that you have in Him. I don't have that kind of time, y'all. We can do it in Bible study. But when you find out who you are in Christ Jesus, when the doctors start talking to you about cancers and issues with your body, and you know who you are in Christ Jesus, you'll begin to speak to that mountain and command it to be cast into the sea. I mean, you'll start talking faith instead of fear. You'll start knowing who you are in Christ. I'm not saying you didn't make mistakes. I didn't say that there wasn't some sin that happened. Thank God for grace and mercy. But there's something else about holy living. There's something about you and I doing things right, understanding what righteousness actually means to a believer. Because if you're born again, you're made righteous. Now, you may do some unrighteous things, but that doesn't mean you're unrighteous. It just means you messed up. Get yourself up, start over again. Because yes, I can do message after message of reconciliation. I can do message after message of forgiveness, but why don't we do some messages about just knowing who we are in Christ Jesus and overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony? Come on. Listen to me. There's a lot of things that try to limit you and I, and they did the same thing to the children of Israel. The number one thing that they didn't do again is they didn't obey God. Here's the second thing about limitation is grieving God can limit him in a lot of ways. I mean, just little things like the Lord telling you to go and just tell someone that Jesus loves them. Oh no, I might get persecuted. And I mean, those things happen, but yet, there's limitations that we don't need to. I mean, listen to me. You can limit God by grieving Him. You know, I remember the story of Peter and how he brought a fish. Remember that fish that actually blessed Peter with some finances? A fish. I mean, that has some gold in its mouth. I'm looking for that fish right now. I need to catch one out there in the pond. You see, but listen, Peter thought he was limited, and then God used something that people don't think he would use to bless him, a fish. I mean, there's all kinds of examples in the Bible about how we can limit God, but yet, man, He's a giver. That there's this one song on Christian television or Christian radio that I turn off every time it plays. And it's a great worship song. I mean, it's a very well-known song, but the worst part of it is the chorus that says, God gives and takes away. Do you realize that that's not biblical? Even though Job said that, doesn't mean we're supposed to live that way. No, he said it in distress. God gives and God takes away. No, no, no. Actually, God's a giver and He does not take away. He only wants to bless you and I. But guess who does take away? The enemy that comes to, say it with me, steal, kill, and destroy, you see. So we don't need to put limitations. There's two sources of limits. The ones that we place on us and the limits that other people place on us. Why don't you, though, instead of causing people to put limitations on you, why don't you live by the Word of God? I mean, the Scriptures that says that all, that things that are not possible for men are possible with God. The things like, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Why don't we get the Word of God on the inside of us? Because there's going to be people try to limit you in your success in business or your success in different areas. But why don't you tell the enemy, since we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. I mean, I think we need to get a hold of that, y'all. We tend to think it's a person trying to stop us. No, it's not. It's the enemy, a spirit of darkness that is trying to... We don't wrestle against the flesh, the human. We wrestle against the principality and the powers of darkness. They're trying to stop us and trying to limit you and I. We don't need to be limited by us limiting ourselves, and we don't need to be limited by other people. Oh, glory. Turn over just real fast. We'll just see where God... Back in the front of your Bible to Numbers. Numbers. Numbers is right like the fourth or so book of the Bible. And go to chapter 13. Chapter 13. Because it shows us some stories about limitation. Verse 1, chapter 13 of Numbers. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I gave unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, for every one a ruler among them. Now, skip all the way down to verse 27. And they told him and said, we came unto the land where you sent us. Remember, he sent them. He sent some help for them even. He sent some people that was in charge. And then in 27, he told them and said, we came unto the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and it is the fruit of it, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people, they're strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites dwell in the mountains. You see where their eyes are looking? At some things that just look like a wall, right? The Canaanites dwell by the sea. I mean, we're surrounded here, sir. And by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled. That word stilled means quieted. Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. You know, he was trying to speak faith to them in the midst of limitation, in the midst of people, help me, Holy Ghost. I mean, when people are stopping themselves from going into the promised land, from seeing the results that they're believing God for. For seeing the healings manifest that they're confessing, you see. Someone has to say, calm down, people. Even though you're seeing a lot of walls up and a lot of barriers up, let me tell you how to get them down. Calm down. Possess the land. Live by the word of God. You're faith people. For we are well able to overcome it. Man, he's trying to speak faith, y'all. Look at verse 31. But, there's the bad but. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able. Oh, that's a bad confession right there, y'all. We be not able to go against these people. They are stronger than we. That's a bad confession, man. You see, what we're trying to do here in the next several weeks is try to knock down the barriers, break through them. Not a 10-second penalty barrier in the steer wrestling or the team roping or calf roping. I'm not talking about when the goat tying horse goes over the goat stake that's holding. That costs you 10 seconds. I'm not talking about knocking down a barrel in the barrel racing that costs you 5 seconds per barrel. I'm not talking about that kind of barriers. I'm talking about the walls that are up trying to stop you from accomplishing the things of God that He told you to do. Look at this. And I'm talking, they're full of doubt, full of fear, speaking things that they shouldn't. Now listen to me, I'll just tell you this. Again, it's not sin to think the thought, because the devil tries to get you to be messed up here in the mind, right? I mean, if he can get you messed up and confused up here in the mind, that's how he's got you. But man, when you understand that you have the mind of Christ, then man, you just start speaking what the Word says. So the thought isn't a sin. It's when you meditate on the thought. It's when that thought becomes something. Let me start closing. Let's finish right here in Numbers. Verse 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eats up its inhabitants. Oh, Jesus. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. I mean, all they saw was giants, in other words. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were also in their sight. You know how the giant saw them? Grasshopper. You know what I use grasshoppers for? Fish bait. We're not supposed to be bait. We're supposed to be the ones that declare the Word of God. The Bible tells us that we're set apart. We'll read about that next time, y'all. Listen to me. Don't miss these messages, because what they're designed to do is to get our faith up to go out there in the world but not live of it, and start changing our surroundings. Because when we change our surroundings, that's when the little boats begin to get calmed. There may be a tough time around all those little boats, but if you're calm and you begin to speak the Word of God, you begin to live how God wants you to live, not compromising your faith with trying to look like the world. No, you are set apart people. You are a holy nation. I'm talking about, you are a son of God. People are looking at you, and they don't need to be held back by barriers. No, they need to say, hey, if he's an overcomer, I need to be around him, because I'm going through some tough things right now because of the world we live in. But I just choose today not to participate in any of those bad things, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ, because He loves me. I can do all things through Christ, because He strengthens me. I'm the head and not the tail. Now you may have to say this over and over and over until you actually believe it. But I'm here to tell you, this is how a believer should live in these days. And you can do it. We can do it, y'all. If we make a mistake, it's not because we set out to make the mistake. And thank God for grace and mercy and forgiveness. But to live by those mistakes, and to live when you know you shouldn't be doing that, but you do it anyway, man, we just got to figure out how to get strengthened to not fall short of the glory of God. You don't need to fall short. Nope. You know what you need? To be victorious in Christ Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Because if you'll do that, I'll show you a family, the family of God, or your personal family, that, I mean, I'm not saying that virus might try to attach itself to you and you might get the sniffles, or and you might go, oh, that's a symptom of something that's not good. Well, I rebuke that off of my body in Jesus' name, because the Word of God says no disease or sickness shall come near this body. This body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You know what the devil does? Oh, you're not worthy. You've done bad things in your life. Man, you tell that devil where he needs to go. Just don't cuss. That devil doesn't have any authority over you as a believer in Jesus Christ. I don't care how much you mess up. You are someone in Christ. And you may be the pillar of your family, spiritually speaking. But God needs you to stay there. For the family from down and the family up. Ooh, Jesus, man, receive that, I'm telling you. Oh, ooh. God needs you. And it's hard sometimes. But you got more influence in Christ Jesus with family than you know. And you deserve the best. Oh, the Spirit of God just wanted me to tell you, He loves you. And He knows the deep parts of the heart and how much you love Him. Ooh, Jesus. But you got to stand. Got to stand. Amen. Because in these days, if we don't stand, then something's going to stand on us. Not a believer. I mean, that's why you have to stand your ground at school. And it's not easy. But the more you stand and not, I mean, don't get your feelings hurt. But you stand, you watch what God does. And there might be persecution. Who cares? Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. It's going to take people standing, though. Knocking down those barriers that are trying to keep us down. Allowing the Spirit of God to do all things in our life. Not withholding anything. You have an anger problem, you need to get over it. Because it's causing people to leave the church. Just over some goofy things that happen in the church. I can't thank y'all enough for allowing me and my wife to leave, because I'm telling you, it upsets some people. Why am I going to be a part of a church that the pastor leaves so much? Well, because your pastor is out there getting people born again that you're going to see in heaven one day. And I'm telling you, and if I do my job right and these ministers do their job right, we're just getting filled up while we're here. And when I get to come back, I mean, they'll pastor you just like I will. Thank you. Thank you. Y'all, that I don't say it enough. I think the account for the indoor arena that we're believing God for, she sent it to me yesterday, because I wanted to know. What it was. So let me just give y'all that report. And well, I kind of know. So let me get my calendar calculator. Oh wow, That's a good number. You know what's come in? Now just the dirt work costs a lot. Ooh, we're going to have to believe God for the dirt work to get our drainage and all that right, where we're going to put the indoor arena, and then the metal. How many of you know metal's pretty expensive nowadays? $255,000 is sitting in the account. But listen to me. Are we going to stop? Are we going to stop? You know, because the Lord showed me that there would be a lot of people in this church give $10,000. And I was the first one that did it. And then there was people that gave more than the $10,000. I mean, how God just... Because an indoor arena is a blessing from God, you see. And so when you fill out an offering envelope, man, you can put that on it. But we got to keep believing, y'all. We can't give up our faith no matter what goes on in this life. Amen? You're an overcomer. I'm excited about the women's conference this coming Saturday. Listen to me. If you haven't signed up for the women's conference, why not? I mean, it's our church, women coming together in this church for only one day this coming Saturday. And getting fed. Like women, all women and men need. And you get to get some spiritual insight from women like my wife, your pastor, and other women that come in. And I mean, I can't wait to see what changes in women's life just because of this conference. So today, sign up. You get fed. It's a great, great thing. I'm just excited to see what God's doing in this place. Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you for all that you're doing here at Cowboy Church. And I realize that you don't have to be a cowboy to come to church. It's just a bait to a Western person, a country folk type people that feel like they're not comfortable in church because they don't have a suit and tie on. It's just a bait, sir. But Father, I thank you, Lord, that there's a lot of cowboys and cowgirls and country people that just need to get set free, that they can come right here and learn about you, just how they're dressed. But then there's others and city folks that they just want to be a part of the Spirit of God. So Father, thank you. Thank you, sir, for all that you're doing here. Now, Father, as you know, 25 plus years ago when I was called to this ministry, I told you that I would never leave a service without giving someone an opportunity to receive your Son Jesus and my Savior. And I'm not going to do that now, sir. So draw them to you. Draw them to you right now. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Think about that, the Lord of your life. Not just because you know Him and you want to miss hell. I'm talking about making Him the Lord of your life, one scripture at a time. If you're here this morning or you're watching and you've never made Jesus your Lord, I want you to do it right now. And all of us in here are going to pray a prayer with you. We're going to pray and ask Jesus to come into our heart and save us. So if you're here or you're watching and you don't know what would happen to you if you died, you don't know if you go to heaven or hell, I want you to choose heaven by receiving Jesus. That's what John 14 says, that He's the only way, truth, and life. The only way to get to the Father in heaven is by Him, Jesus. So if you're here this morning, you've never made Him the Lord of your life, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. And all the believers in here, you pray it with us as well. And let's say it like this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth, according to Romans 10 and 9, 9 and 10, that Jesus is my Lord. I confess you, Jesus, as the Lord of my life. Come into my heart and save me. Forgive me of all my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. No one looking around, just real fast. If you just prayed that simple prayer and you asked Jesus to come into your life and you prayed it and you meant it, here's what I want you to do. With no one looking around, and I'm not going to embarrass you, I want you to be bold enough, like Jesus was bold to die for you. Be bold enough when I count to three to raise your hand up and say, God, I meant that prayer. I just gave my life to you. Jesus is now my Lord. And then just put your hand back, right back down. And I want you to do it with boldness in Jesus' name. You ready? If you just gave your life to Him, get that hand up at the count of three. One, two, three, go. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank y'all so much. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Glory be to God. All right, look at me. Three or four people. I mean, that's good, though. Now, if you're watching and you gave your life to the Lord, number one, when you watch, share this program. You can share it this afternoon. But people need to hear about the saving knowledge of Jesus. But if you got saved, private message us and just say, hey, I gave my life to Jesus. I like the comments. I look at all the comments even. They say, hey, I'm from Odessa. I'm from Montana. I'm from here. I'm from there. And I appreciate you doing that because that can tell us kind of who's watching and where you're watching from. Amen. Y'all that are here, love y'all very much. Did you have a good time this morning? Amen. Again, the only other announcement besides the women's conference this Saturday, please be a part of that, is our Hallelujah night on the 31st. Isn't it on the 31st? That's where we, we don't support Halloween. It's turned into a very bad, holiday. But I don't want the kids to feel like they can't do anything and they're segregated. No. We have fun. And we have a good harvest time right here. And so we're going to do a hayride. We're going to have a lot of things. We may need some help with that, but start bringing some candy, because I'm okay with candy. We'll just pray for their teeth later. But I want those kids to have fun in a safe place called Hallelujah Night. Amen. Other than that, I don't have any other announcements. Are we good? Y'all know the water? I can't tell you, y'all. We just launched another church in East Houston that are launching today with water, because you can't get our water anywhere. I can't keep it, y'all. We have about 3 cases out there, and it's one of the last cases that we have before I have to reorder. I mean, it is selling because it's a natural water, and you can only get it through this church in this area. Now in Houston, there's another church, and I mean there, when they tasted it, wow. So don't buy the cheap water that you get at the store that's tap water. Why would you do that? Thou crazieth if you doeth thatteth. Why buy Essentia or all those? You know those waters are $30 a case? Ours is only 20. Amen? So buy our water, plus it benefits this church. Love y'all very much. Y'all that got saved, pleasure to call you a brother and sister in Christ. Stand to your feet. Don't miss next week. Matter of fact, I want everybody in here, raise your right hand. I want you to confess this with me. Say, I will invite 7 people. People are like, can I do one? Invite some people next time. Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for all you're doing here. Thank you, Father, that we receive this word by faith. You don't stay here. You never leave us or forsake us, so you get to go with us right now. We love you, sir. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Big round of applause. You're dismissed. Love you.